Well, again, welcome everybody here today, and I want to add my welcome for those of you that perhaps are on the webcast. You're welcome to be joining us as well. Have you ever been told, grow up? You notice a little bit of a tone to that. Grow up. According to the American English Collins Dictionary, when you tell someone to grow up, you are telling them to stop behaving in a silly or childish way. The dictionary provides a few synonyms for grow up. Perhaps you have been told one of these. Act your own age. Get a grip. Wise up. Shape up. Man up. Be mature. You know what? Stop acting like a child. Perhaps you have someone in your life that is actively and consistently on a mission to help you move on from your childish ways. If you do have such a person in your life, I'm sure that it's rooted out of love and concern for your well-being and is intended to assist you in your development towards a certain level of maturity. If you have been told this in the past, maybe recently in the past, maybe today, you are likely being admonished to stop behaving in a certain way. Perhaps the accuser is telling you to stop being selfish. You are pushing your wants and not considering what others might want or need. It can't always be about you. You need to grow up. Perhaps you are being asked to get your emotions under control. Maybe you've been angry. Maybe you've had some sort of tantrum and you were pouting about not getting your way. Well, you need to grow up. Perhaps you are being told to change your attitude. Look on the positive side and change your focus. Grow up. Perhaps you are using words or behaving in a way that is offensive or disrespectful. Perhaps it's not the words themselves. Perhaps it's the tone that is inappropriate or disrespectful. Someone's asking us to grow up. Perhaps you are showing signs of entitlement and a lack of patience. You are acting like you should have whatever you want and you should have it now. Perhaps you are not being thankful for all that you have and you want what someone else has. Again, you're being told to grow up. Perhaps you have forgotten your good manners. You're not listening. You're interrupting me. You could be less demanding and say, please, grow up. Stop this childish behavior. I hear my grand littles from time to time being told, is that the way you ask for something? Is that yours? Let your sister have a turn. Be easy with Papa. I like that one. Don't hit your brother. No, you have had enough blueberries for now. You know what? Let's stop eating and let's ask the prayer real quick. Okay, let's put up the toys. Let's put the toys away before we get more out to play with. Now, my grand littles have amazing parents, and while I don't hear them yelling, grow up, I do hear them teaching good manners. When our kids, our teens, and even adults are being told to grow up, they are typically being criticized for having childlike traits and are being encouraged to grow out of those traits. These are traits from your childhood that you should have grown or outgrown by now. The Bible supports our need to grow up and act our own age in some ways. The Apostle Paul tells us to move on from childish things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, we'll read just one, I'll quote you this one verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul seems to be telling us to act our own age, to grow up. Now, we can all agree that there are some childish things, some childish traits and behaviors that we should overcome as we grow up and become adults. For Christians, this is true on a physical and spiritual level. There are some childlike traits that we should not have, that we should not overcome over the course of our life as well. These are traits that we need to ensure that we continue to have, and traits that we need to further our development later in life to be successful in this Christian walk. In Matthew chapter 18, we find a set of scriptures that tells us that we are to become like little children. In fact, the passage tells us that if we do not become like little children, if we are not becoming childlike, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot enter it. In Matthew chapter 18, we see that the disciples had come to Jesus and were interested in who would be the greatest in the kingdom. I wonder if they just had their own opinions about who the greatest might be, or if they were just wanting to see how well they stacked up against each other. We find that there was some competition for who might be considered the favorite, who might have the honor of sitting at the right hand of Jesus. Now, I'm not necessarily knocking being the favorite, though it is not something that I have experienced too much in my lifetime. It must be nice to be the favorite. Perhaps my daughter Amber could shed some light on what it means to at least believe that you are the favorite all of your life. It must be nice. But let's look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. Matthew 18 and verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Let's also look at Luke chapter 18. Jesus takes the opportunity here to provide another reference to this condition for receiving the kingdom of God. In this example, individuals brought little ones that were there to Jesus, and the disciples tried to stop it. I'm going to quote this from the New International Version, the NIV, because I like the way it's written here, but Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. It says, "People also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.'" Verse 17. "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child, a little child, will never enter it." These verses are communicating a very strong message that each of us needs to consider as we strive to please God and secure our place in the kingdom of God. You and I are becoming, or to become, as little children and be prepared to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. Now, I think we can all agree that some of the childlike traits we had as little children are not the traits that Jesus Christ is expecting us to have as a condition to enter the kingdom of God. We read earlier from Paul's writings that we are to speak, understand, and think differently as we mature with age, and we are to put aside childish things. Our words, our actions, and our behaviors should increasingly show that we are becoming spiritually mature as we prepare for the kingdom of God and our role in it. Jesus Christ is not telling us to be selfish or to be uncontrollably emotional. He's not encouraging a bad attitude or offense or disrespectful behavior. Jesus doesn't want us to feel entitled and to be lacking in thanksgiving. I would think that Jesus would want us to continue to practice good manners and be an example to others of putting away childish things. These can be traits that little children have and be taught not to have. There are others as well. Sadly, we as adults can slip into these traits from time to time, and that's when we need someone to gently encourage us to grow up, to act our own age. So what are the childlike traits that Jesus is referring to in Matthew chapter 18 and Luke chapter 18 that are necessary for our spiritual development and ultimately for our entry into the kingdom of God? You want a title for the message today? I wrote in my notes, what does it mean to be childlike? What does it mean to be childlike? I'd like to spend the balance of my time this afternoon in this message looking at some of the childlike qualities that I think Jesus was referring to. Some of these childlike traits that are common in little children can come naturally, and some need to be developed over time. We can also recognize that while our precious little ones generally have these traits, they do have their moments. If you are currently raising children, or if you've just been around children for a little bit, you know what I'm talking about. The first trait is children are humble. Children are humble. They have humility from a very early age. We were given this childlike trait in what we read there in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4. Children fully depend on those to take care of them, and that keeps them humble, respectful, and willing to submit to their parents. While children are not 100% perfect in these traits, any of these traits, they have a natural humble nature early in life. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, humble, as in meek, not having or showing any feelings of superiority, self-assertiveness, or showiness. The Bible dictionary says in the Bible, humility is a virtue that means being meek, low-minded, and selfless. It is a heart attitude that involves recognizing one's dependence on God and valuing others above oneself. Some synonyms for humble are lowly, submissive, compliant, courteous, modest, and respectful. And of course, the Bible has a lot to say to us about humility. There are many scriptures that encourage you and I to be humble. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Again, I'm going to quote this out of the NIV or New International Version. But Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Beginning in verse 5 of this chapter, we find the best example of what humility should look like. Verse 5, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Verse 9 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest places and gave his name that is above every name. Let's also turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and that he may lift you up in due time. We are instructed to live a humble life, to put others ahead of ourselves. We are to humbly submit to our great God and recognize his amazing power and his ability to provide for all of our needs. The British writer C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. To be childlike, we too must be humble. We must develop humility. The next one is, children are trusting. Children are trusting. Children trust their parents to provide all that is needed for them. As mentioned, with the childlike trait of humility, children are dependent on others to provide all that they need. Children trust that their needs will be provided. As they grow older, they trust that their parents and those who have been taught, they've been taught to look up to and respect, will have their back. Know that they are loved and highly valued, and with that comes a sense of trust and security. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says that trusting is assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or trust of someone or something. Bible Dictionary says that in the Bible, trust is an act of believing in the reliability, strength, or truth of something or someone. It is a confidence and secure action based on that belief. Some synonyms for trusting, are believing, confident, undoubting, unquestioning, and unsuspicious. What does the Bible say to us about having this childlike trait of trusting? Well, God is our Father in heaven. He wants us to have a close relationship with Him as His children. God created us in His image. He is a provider and wants us to know that we are loved and highly valued. And He lets us know that He has our back as we navigate through life. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his measure? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, with all his glory, was not arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31. Excuse me. It says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's interesting to me, these words that Jesus spoke and the examples that he gave and was inspired to be recorded are the same basic issues that we have, the same needs, the same basic cares of everyday life. We need food, clothing, and shelter and other basic needs, just as they did when these words were spoken and this letter was written down. God wants us to be trusting. He wants us to develop a strong trust in Him to provide all that we need. God wants us to recognize and embrace our dependence on Him. He wants us to be in regular contact with Him through prayer, Bible study, which are the elements needed for us to develop the personal relationship that God wants us to have with Him. God our Father wants us, His sons and daughters, to have confidence in Him, to provide all of our needs and many of our wants and desires according to His will. God wants us to trust in Him. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, we are encouraged here to be obedient to God and to put your trust and put our trust in Him. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet in your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. God wants us to depend on Him, to trust Him. And with our whole heart, He wants us to believe in Him and believe in the promises, and that He will deliver the promises that He's given us. God expects us to walk rightly before Him. We have a responsibility to do our part, of course, through obedience to His commands and His principles of living. Developing the childlike trait of trust in God will give us the confidence we need to continue even in times of trouble. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Let us renew our trust in God and go forward without fear." So, to be childlike, we too must be trusting. The next one I have is children are believing. Children are believing. All the childlike traits we are discussing this afternoon go together and overlap as we attempt to identify and define them. The childlike trait of believing pairs with children being humbled and trusting. Our children are accepting and believing in others, especially their parents and close family members that they have developed a relationship with early in their life. Children humbly trust in those that take care of their needs and believe that they will continue to be well cared for. They believe in the love of their parents and those close to them. They believe that they believe what they say, and they believe that when they're told something, that it'll happen, that they will do it. They believe that what they are promised, they will get. Same kind of promise that we, like the same kind of faith we can have, that God will give us what He promises us as well. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says to consider to be true or honest, to accept the word or evidence of, to have a firm conviction to the goodness, effectiveness, or ability of something. Bible Dictionary says, in the Bible, the word believe means to trust in God and commit your life to Him. It's more than just agreeing that something might be true. Some synonyms for believing: accepting, assuming, convinced, having faith, sure, and positive. While the Bible does have a lot to say to you and me about believing, this term has been misunderstood and misused in churches all across the land. There are some key verses that are frequently used in the mainstream Christian world that puts a huge emphasis on believing in Christ to be saved. Unfortunately, the accepted doctrine is a belief in Christ that gives you grace, and that alone is the ticket to salvation, or they might say the ticket into heaven. The belief suggests that there are no other responsibilities on the person seeking salvation but to simply believe in Christ. Acts chapter 16, verse 29 through 31. says, then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Another verse that is often misused a little bit. John 8, 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And then, of course, there's John chapter 3 and verse 16. That says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that there is much more to this childlike trait that is understood by the mainstream churches. You know, my dad had five brothers, and most of them were involved in the ministry of some sort in their local communities, and strongly held the belief that you just needed to believe to be saved. And I just remember my dad, as a young person, he would have discussions with them about that, and sometimes probably get a little heated, you know, as they both held their set of beliefs. But I recall my dad telling them, you know, Satan, the devil, and all of his demons believe in God. They believe he exists. And yet, their fate is spelled out quite differently. Now, I had great uncles, and it will be great to see their eyes open to all of God's teachings and amazing future that we all have. There's an article on the Life, Hope, and Truth website entitled, What Does It Mean to Believe in Jesus Christ? It was written by Tyrone Yard. I'd like to quote some of what was in that article, what that article had to say. It said, quote, millions of people profess a belief in Jesus Christ. But is their belief consistent with the biblical description of believing in Christ? Can your faith in Christ be a counterfeit version of the real thing? And then he asked this question, what does it truly mean to be in the real Jesus Christ? What does it truly mean to believe in the real Jesus Christ of the Bible? His answer was really simple, but it was very well said. The answer was, belief in Christ means believing and trusting him and doing what he says. And that's the big difference. Our children believe that we exist, but the childlike trait of believing goes well beyond that. They are humble, trusting, and believing in the way of life that they are being taught. As children grow older, they gain an understanding of why the way of life that they have been taught is good for them. And it's every parent's hope and desire that they will, if not right away, then later, continue on and develop a personal relationship with God. The article's author says, believing in Christ means believing in his existence, believing in his gospel message, accepting him as Savior, and trusting him as Lord and Master. We express our belief in Christ and our Father in heaven by striving to walk as each of them have told us to walk. So to be childlike, we too must be believing. The next one I have is, children are teachable. Children are teachable. Children have a teachable heart. They want to explore and learn new things. They are willing and eager to understand how things work and why. It is interesting to watch a little child as they discover new things. They study it, they grab it, they usually see what it tastes like. If the item makes noise, they will keep it going until it will not make noise any longer. As they grow older, they ask a lot of questions and are eager to connect all of the dots. They want to participate and take on new challenges. They are open to explanations explaining what happened and why. Children want to know more, and they want to do more. I think that is why children love to sit down and have a book read to them. They soak in a ton of facts and remember them long after most of us have forgotten it. While children may not recognize it early on, children need boundaries and consistent instruction to feel safe and to thrive. They want to be taught to do the right things. It is great that children have the appetite for learning, especially since the caretakers of those little ones are admonished to provide the required teaching. A very familiar verse to all of us, I'm sure, is Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, which says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, some of our kids are just not old enough yet, but they will come around. This verse encourages teaching at an early age and instilling values in children when they are young. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says teachable is capable of being taught, apt and willing to learn, favorable to teaching. The Bible Dictionary says, in the Bible, teachable means being open to learning from anyone and willing to be corrected. Some synonyms for teachable are trainable, manageable, obedient, conformable, and compliant. Parents and all of us that have some influence to teach the little ones around us have a responsibility to do so. This mostly falls, of course, on the parents, but all of those close to the little children can support what is being taught by the parents. The Bible has a lot to say to you and me about being teachable as well. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Lord, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey." Let's get down to verse 6. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk about of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You know, for us to teach our children, we need to have this trait of being teachable ourselves. We also need to be able to know what to teach them. We need to be willing and eager to learn ourselves. We must put in the time, ask questions, connect the dots, and put into practice the lessons that we are being taught as adults. We cannot teach our children, again, what we don't know, and what we are not practicing and are not setting an example for them. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8 says this. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand." God is shaping and molding us for an important role in his family, in his kingdom. We must have a teachable heart for God to work with. Proverbs 19 and verse 20 tells us, Proverbs 19, 20, it tells us, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days." To be childlike, we must be teachable. Another childlike trait, children have and express unconditional love. Children have and express unconditional love. Children love unconditionally and express their love, especially to their parents, and perhaps their Aunt Amy and Aunt Sarah, without hesitation. A child's love is genuine, it's real. It is unconditional and it's frequently given. An online definition for this unconditional love says a child's unconditional love is a pure, selfless love that is given without expecting anything in return. It is a powerful force that can bring comfort and joy to the child and to their family. Bible Dictionary says that love is a way of relating to others and to God that is patient, kind, and sacrificial. It is a way of life that is based on God's character. Some synonyms for this one are affectionate, devoted, caring, tender-hearted, adoring, warm, and compassionate. We have instructions for us in God's Word to have love and freely express it, especially to our great and awesome God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we were there and read some verses before and after this. I'll just quote verse 5, says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength." This instruction demands that we have the childlike quality of unconditional love, and it needs to be consistently expressed. To do this, we need a better definition of the love that is being mentioned here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Known by many as the love chapter, we find out what love is and what it is not by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll start in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The world around us has an incorrect understanding of what love is and how it should be expressed. Like little children's innocent love, our love for God, and our love for others should be unconditional. It should be expressed appropriately and freely, and it should contain the attributes that we just read about in 1 Corinthians. Having the childlike trait of unconditional love helps us build our relationship with God and love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Children do have and express unconditional love, and for us to be childlike, we must have and express unconditional love as well. Children are forgiving. Children are not only forgiving, they are quick to forgive. They will move on when something doesn't go their way or if they have been wronged, whether it's a real wrong or something imagined. But they'll move on if something happens. Forgiveness is often difficult for grown-ups, but it is something that very much comes naturally to very young children. A lot of the time, children will forgive a perceived wrongdoing and they will not remember it. They will let it go and they'll move on. Merriam-Webster's dictionary provides a definition for forgive. It says to cease to feel resentment against an offender, to pardon. Webster's Bible Dictionary says it is an act of forgiving, the pardon of an offender, willingness to forgive, remission of a debt, fine, or penalty. Some synonyms for forgiving are pardon, quit, disregard, or excuse. Of course, the Bible is very clear on our responsibility to have this childlike trait for forgiveness. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. It says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." It's important to note that we are to forgive as God forgives. How does God forgive? Well, God is willing to forgive human sin. In fact, He is eager to forgive and will do so immediately if we repent and ask for it. Psalms 103 in verse 12 says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That was Psalm 103 verse 12. When God forgives our sin, He removes them from us forever. They will never again be associated with us. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 tells us that God no longer remembers sins He has forgiven. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." God expects you and I to forgive as He forgives, and the consequences for not doing so are quite heavy. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Living peacefully with a heart of forgiveness is intended to be a part of who we are in our walk of life. And these are serious consequences for not doing so. And it's why Jesus wants us to have this childlike trait. Martin Luther King Jr. was quoted as saying, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a permanent attitude." So for us to be childlike, we too must be quick to forgive. Children are full of excitement and wonder. Children are full of excitement and wonder. You know, children are excited to wake up, to play, to explore. Small children get excited and in a state of wonder about bright colors, new sounds, new toys, and their next meal. It's one thing our kids were always very excited about is what was for dinner. Depending on the ages, children love to play games, meet with their friends, play sports, play with their toys, build things, and any number of creative adventures that they can participate in and learn from. When we read books to our children, they are excited to hear about God's wonderful creation and all the wondrous things that they have seen and not seen and would like to see. There is so much that they learn and so much to experience. At the Feast of Tabernacles, each year as it got close, our kids were always super excited about where we were going, who else was going to be there, what we were going to see and what we were going to do. And of course, there were the feast presents that were exciting too. Britannica Dictionary says, "Excitement is a feeling of eager enthusiasm and interest. Wonder is a feeling caused by seeing something that is surprising, beautiful, and amazing." Bible Dictionary says, "Excitement in the biblical context refers to a state of heightened emotion or enthusiasm." From the McClintock and Strong Bible Cyclopedia says, "Wonder is some occurrence or thing which so strongly engages our attention by its surprising greatness, rarity, or other properties, that our minds are struck by it into astonishment. Some synonyms for this phrase of excitement and wonder is awe and anticipation, amazement and fascination, thrill and curiosity, elation and marvel, or exhilaration and wonderment. Mary Pelagos, author and life coach, gave this quote: "If you want to witness a natural display of a sense of wonder, just observe a child. A child's whole world is viewed through the eyes of wonder and excitement. A child has no judgments of why things are so, but rather a child is in awe and views life through innocence, purity, and curiosity." Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says this: "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You know, each week you and I are blessed with a weekly Sabbath, a time set aside for rest, a time for spiritual recharging, and a time for reflection. In less than 12 weeks, we will begin the next round of the Holy Days that will remind us of God's plans for us. God expects you and me to be blown away by His creation and continuously in a state of heightened enthusiasm and astonishment for the establishment of the kingdom of God and our role in it. So to be childlike, we must be full of excitement and wonder. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, and Luke 18, verse 17, we read scriptures that told us that we are to become like little children. In fact, both set of scriptures told us that if we do not become like little children, if we are not becoming childlike, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And we can all agree that some of the childish things, some childish traits or behaviors that exists and that we might have, we should have overcome as grown-ups and as adults. We all do childish things from time to time, and we might be encouraged to stop it. We might be encouraged to grow up from time to time. Though silly and perhaps somewhat annoying to others, these are not the traits, though, that Jesus Christ was talking about. The Bible encourages us to be humble, to be trusting, to be believing, to be teachable, to be forgiving, to have and express unconditional love, and to be forgiving and to be full of excitement and wonder. This is what it means to be childlike.